Thank you, Mangala. I first met Bhante in 1984. Actually, I didn't want to meet him. I'd only been involved with the movement about 3 months. I was already working full-time at the London Buddha Centre, and Teja Mati, who I was working with, decided that I ought to meet Bhante. Actually, I don't think I really knew who Bhante was or what his significance was, but I did go and meet him with Teja Mati. Had no impact on me that I can remember at that time. So, unlike Mangala, my main connection with Bhante is Bhante as a teacher. My main connection, I guess, is through his writings, his talks, his books, his seminars, his question and answer sessions, his memoirs, his poetry, all of that. I mean, I have met with Bhante a number of times. In fact, I have the dubious distinction of having been on 2 ordination courses with Bhante, the first one where I didn't get ordained, and the second one where I did get ordained. So I met Bhante quite a bit in 1986 in Tuscany, and that was when I met Bhante as a brick wall, as it were, who was there standing in the way, as I experienced at the time, of my ordination. One of the most difficult experiences of my life, although in retrospect, one of the best experiences of my life. And then in Gukyaloka in 1988, as Dharmashalan said, I was ordained by Bhante. And obviously in those situations you have quite a few meetings, one-to-one, in groups, in question and answer sessions, in seminars. And obviously over the years I've been present at various talks that Bhante's given, at seminars, at question and answer sessions and so on. So I've met him in all those contexts. Very few one-to-one meetings in more recent years. And also I've been really bad at writing to Bhante. I've written to him once in 25 years. So that's, I did tell him actually at the time of my ordination that I probably wouldn't write to him because I wasn't very good at that. So he knew what to expect. So I haven't had what I would call a very personal relationship with Bhante. In fact, I think I've always been very awkward in Bhante's presence. I think I was in awe of him. And certainly for the first 10 or 15 years or so of my involvement, I was very awkward in his presence. It's not like that now, but I didn't find it easy. So I'd say my experience with Bhante, is as a teacher. But it wasn't initially like that, because I was a Buddhist before I came to the movement. I'd been a Buddhist for about a year. And when I got involved with the movement, it was through reading a book by Subhuti. So I didn't really know about Bhante or his significance. It wasn't until I became a Mitra and started doing the Mitra study that I started to have a more full experience of Bhante. And going through those, I think it's 72 lectures that we used to go through, I experienced a teacher who was clear, radical, challenging, and so on. And that was my experience of Bhante. And through that experience, I grew to really appreciate, respect, and become more and more devoted to Bhante as a teacher. I say I was a Buddhist before I encountered the movement, but I was a Buddhist who didn't really understand how to practice Buddhism. I was floundering, and I think Bhante saved me from making some quite stupid decisions. And I think the thing I'm most grateful to Bhante for is his clarity. That's what came across probably most strongly to me, was his clarity in teaching the Dharma. Before that, I hadn't found clarity. So I've been through all of those lectures, as I said, as probably most of you have. I've been through them probably at least 4 times. And I've also probably read probably everything that's been published as a book and so on. I've been through a lot of question and answer sessions, seminars and so on. To me, these things are absolutely wonderful, clear, challenging, revolutionary, stimulating, practical, idealistic, all of those things, magical even. And Bhante's memoirs also had a big impact. I've read most of his memoirs about 3 times. And what I meet there is a heroic Buddhist teacher. That's how I see Bhante, heroic, uncompromising, someone who's willing to be controversial, to speak the truth, someone giving his giving of himself unstintingly. When I read about his tours in India and so on, giving himself unstintingly, giving his wisdom, and always with this clarity, with this very practical clarity, but with depth as well and profundity, and with wit and humour, what I would think of as true compassion. And I was thinking that perhaps as a teacher, Bhante comes across perhaps best in the question and answer, not the question and answer, the seminars where, if you read the originals, you see throughout the 70s, the 80s, into the 90s, you see Bhante in this kind of unfolding drama where he's sitting there with his disciples, as it were, and they're asking questions, often incoherent questions, to which he gives very coherent and clear answers. And you see the whole thing unfolding over 2 decades or so. You see this drama unfolding, whereby these people are becoming more clear. They're becoming more confident. And the questions change. It's interesting to look, say, someone like Sagarmati, the sort of questions he was asking in the 1970s and the sort of questions he's asking much later on and so on. You see the people growing. You see Bhante growing in how he's able to express the teaching, because he's got people who are able to, as it were, grasp it. And you see also in those seminars, you see the whole movement developing. You see things which are, you see the seeds of things which exist now. Like back in the early 80s, he was talking about how the movement should be structured. And it's how it's structured now. It was years before it actually started to happen. Or somewhere in the 1980s, there's a seminar where he talks about reimagining the Buddha. It's more or less exactly what's come out in a recent paper. But he was talking about that in the 80s. And you can see in the seminar the people struggling to understand what he's talking about, yeah? So it sometimes takes a long time for us to catch up. So in his seminars, there's this unfolding vision, the whole thing is like a drama. The way I see it is like a drama. There's creativity, there's humour, there's kindness, and again, this clarity is there all the time. And what he's doing really in all of that is he's creating the spiritual community. And you can see that unfold before your eyes in those seminars. You can see people the numbers are growing, we know, but you can see people growing, as I said, in confidence, in understanding, and also growing in respect for the teacher, which, you know, Mangala alluded to, how that respect had to grow as well over time. And you can see the whole thing growing into a real Buddhist sangha with depth and richness and again clarity. And this, I think, is really Bhante's greatest achievement, his greatest creation, is the spiritual community, the order and the movement. This is what he's given to the world. This, like the Bodhisattva building the Buddha land, this is what he's given to the world. He's created a living active, vital, effect of spiritual community. And he's created that out of all of us and out of all those young, perhaps naive or cynical people that he encountered in the 60s and 70s. So I rejoice in the fact that I've known such a great man. I feel honoured to be his disciple. I feel honoured that he considers me to be a disciple. I feel privileged to be a disciple of him. I feel very fortunate and grateful. I feel, in a sense, that something quite historic has been taking place over these last 45 years in terms of the history of Buddhism, and particularly the history of Buddhism in the Western world. And I feel I've been touched by the greatness of the man who's brought that about. So, thank you.